Would you please be seated? A tremendous, enormous welcome to all of you to St. James Westminster Church. The great number of people here is a testimony to the love of John and our support for Carolyn and all of her family members. I've known him for over 60 years, from the small village of Thedford when our family arrived from Ireland and Canada. And we're all here, and I'm here, to thank God and to praise him for the life of John Fryer. This dynamic and very colorful and intelligent man. I'm not going to parrot everything that was in the obituary, because that was truly impressive. A long list of achievements and of service. But I need to say this. I did have one criticism of John. That in the hundreds, nay thousands of jokes that he told, both written and oral, there was never one that I could use from the pulpit. They were quite colorful. All of the hymns and readings and anthems for this service were chosen by John, and it is an honor to help him fulfill his last wishes. As we bow our heads. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the maker and redeemer of all, grant us with your servant John and with all the faithful departed the sure benefits of your Son's saving passion and glorious resurrection. That in the last day, when you gather up all things in Christ, we may with them enjoy the fullness of your promises through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Lissa.
A reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
please be seated.
A reading from Luke. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
On behalf of the family, I would like to thank everyone for being here today to celebrate Dad's life. Ken, Jerry, Stephen, Paul, choir members, thank you so much for sharing your gifts. Dad would have been thrilled. Did you hear the one about? That was a line you often heard from Dad. You never knew what was coming next. The story of a chance encounter, an epic sports endeavor from his past, or maybe one of his many jokes. In any case, if you'd known Dad for any length of time, it was quite possible you had heard it before. Dad loved to tell a story, and boy, could he tell it. Details like no one else, dates, places, names, he remembered it all. I thought, how could I ever tell his story with the kind of details it warranted? As I began to gather the stories and memories from my siblings, we reminisced the many memories we had of Dad. Road trips to both coasts, the family cruise, sporting events, theater, music, food, wine, beer, books. There were so many things that Dad loved. But as I pared down the memories, trying to include the best and not offend anyone for not telling their favorite story, a common thread emerged. Of all the things Dad loved, he loved people the most. Dad loved music, whether it was 8 tracks in the family station wagon, CBC on the radio in his office, or a symphony playing on the stereo. There was always music. Dad sang in several choirs, the rehearsals, the performances, the parties. He enjoyed all of it, but most of all, he loved the people. Dad loved sports. All sports. Seemed like no matter what the occasion was to be at Mom and Dad's, the TV in the den was always had a sporting event playing in the background. He attended as many of the family's events that he could. Hockey, soccer, wrestling, cheer. Is that even a sport? If one of us was playing, he was watching. He was so proud of his children and grandchildren. He played on many sports teams himself in his youth, continued at Appleby, and played huff and puff baseball and hockey well into his 70s. Sure, he loved to play, but more than that, he loved the people, the camaraderie, being part of a team. Joining the guys and gals for coffee or tea after the game was even more important than the activity itself. Dad loved the cottage. And while I can picture him under the tree in his Muskoka chair, reading a book, feeding the blue jays and chipmunks fully content, the happiest times were when he was sharing his piece of paradise with friends and family. Whether it was celebrating a family birthday or one of the numerous dinners they hosted after a play in Grand Bend, it was being there with people that Dad enjoyed the most. The list goes on and on. Here on church camp, people. St. James Westminster, people. St. John's Lodge, Appleby Old Boys, Phi Kappa Pi, over 55, people, people, people. Seems everything Dad held close to his heart centered on the ability to be around people. And the people he held closest to his heart were his family. I can't begin to count the number of family celebrations we had. Dad holding court at the head of the dinner table with his glass of wine, listening intently to the happenings of the family, waiting for the opportune time to tell a story or input a joke to the conversation. The Christmas mornings, Dad in his chair overseeing the spoils with the same wonderment as the kids. You see, Mom bought all the presents. The vacations, graduations, convocations, concerts, plays, fireworks, the list goes on and on. All of them opportunities for Dad to share his immense love. We are grateful for those memories and for many others. But how can we talk about Dad's love for people without mentioning his true love? Mom, married for almost 61 years, together for 66. Their life together was an example of commitment and support for each other. They shared many adventures, traveling on all 7 continents, dining on the finest foods and drinking the finest wines. I don't remember Dad being overly overt with his affection, but he was always there for her and for us. I think one of the ways Dad did show his affection for her was letting her make all the important decisions in our upbringing. Many a time, a question was posed to him by one of us kids. He would look up from his book and respond, "Go ask your mother." The poet Maya Angelou wrote, "People will not always remember exactly what you said or what you did, but they will always remember how you made them feel." Dad always made you feel important, like you mattered, and that you were loved. We will remember him for that. We love you, Dad.
Starting around age 4, I would run laps around the house to wind up my hugs to Grandpa. He would be patiently waiting at the door with a smile on his face and his arms open, and after a number of laps that I deemed sufficient, I would straighten my path and run into his arms. He would pick me up and spin me around. Over the years, the running stopped, but the hugs never did. I would hug my grandpa every time I saw him for all my life. Grandpa was a walking chronograph and an unstoppable storyteller. You could not stop him. He could tell you the year his relatives moved from England to Canada, or easily recount stories about raising my mom, my aunts, and my uncles, and he would always have a joke or quip for any situation. He was lightning sharp, warm, and full of love. That's what I'll remember most about my grandpa. Many of you might remember a favorite joke that my grandpa told once or twice or 5 times, and this is the last joke that my grandpa told when we were sitting bedside at the hospital. He noticed I had just gotten my haircut, and noting this, he said, "You know, a man walked into a barbershop to get his regular haircut. As he started snipping, the barber asked, 'So, what's up?' The man explained that he was bringing his wife on a vacation to Rome tomorrow." 'Rome!' the barber exclaims. 'Why would you want to go to Rome? It's dirty and crowded and full of mafiosos. You're crazy to go to Rome.' 'How are you getting there, anyway?' 'We're flying Air Canada,' the man said." "Air Canada? Oh, they're the worst airline out there. The planes are old, the flight attendants are ugly, and they're always late." "Where are you staying when you get there anyway?" "Oh, we'll be at the downtown Marriott Hotel." "That place is a dump," he said. "The worst in the city. The rooms are small, the service is slow, and they're so overpriced." "Anyway, what are you doing when you get there?" "Oh, we're going to the Vatican to see the Pope," the man said. "Oh, that's rich. You and about 1 million other people, pal. He'll look the size of an ant. Boy, good luck on this lousy trip of yours. You'll need it." Anyway, about 1 month later, the man comes back to get another haircut. The barber asks him how his trip was. "Oh, it was phenomenal," he said. "We flew out on one of Air Canada's newest jets, and they were full, so they bumped us up to first class where we enjoyed food and wine." The barber says. "Well, how was the hotel?" "Just marvelous," the man said. "They had completed a $25 million renovation that made it the finest hotel in all the city. They, too, were overbooked and bumped us up to the presidential suite." "Well," muttered the barber, "I know you didn't get to see the Pope." "Actually, we were quite lucky," the man said. "As we stood on the side of the road, the Pope walked past. He looked over, stopped, and turned toward me. He walked over and shook my hand, and as I knelt down, he spoke a few words to me." "Well," the barber wondered, "tell me, please, what did he say?" "He said, 'Say, where'd you get that terrible haircut?'" Now, I like this joke because it reminds me of so many things I love about my grandpa. First of which is the endlessly interesting, globe-trotting, trivia-packed life he led. When he told this joke, a few of us missed some key details and actually thought he was telling us a personal story about the time he had met the Pope. And given his long life of worldwide travel, all 7 continents, including Antarctica, was it so unbelievable that he had met the Pope? No, I could see it happening. That just shows how extraordinary his life was. He would often remind us it started at Appleby, the boarding school he attended as a boy. Now, I looked through some old records and I found what they had written about my grandpa back in 1955 when he had arrived. His classmates wrote, "John is another of those people who is appreciated in any company. He is noted for his scholarship and wit." Well, like any respectable Appleby old boy, his academic and athletic qualities were rounded out by his artistic qualities. A lover of music and theater, he would always come to my school shows and band concerts and support me with endless encouragement. He was the head of the camp committee for Huron Church Camp and oversaw the creation of the camper cabins that they live in now, the one-to-one camper program, and the leader in training program as we know it today, the program that I am overseeing as manager this summer. Many of you know that he was in the choir here at St. James, and typically the choir receives communion before the rest of the congregation. But I remember that Grandpa would always wait for us right there with a smile on his face to greet us, and what would I do? Of course, I'd give him a hug. The joke also reveals one of his most memorable qualities, a great sense of humor. Yes, he told the classic groaner every now and then, but even the most mundane moments were injected with his comedy. Like when receiving a gift card as a gift, he would turn to my grandma and say, "Pass this to the treasurer, please." In the hospital, on one of his last days, Alyssa said, "Grandpa, I thought you didn't like white wine." He opens his eyes, leans forward with a concerning look, and says, "I don't know who started that rumor." I often wonder jealously how he retained so much comedy, so much material throughout his entire life. Well, after investigating his office, I finally have an answer. These are folders titled Humor Business, Humor Religious, Humor Musical, and my favorite, Humor General. I'll tell you the religious ones in the parking lot after this service. But the third and final thing that that joke reminded me of is family. When he told that joke, we thought it might have been our last day with him. Our whole family was huddled in that small room. Grandpa enjoyed a meal of lobster tail and white wine, while the Pirates of Penzance soundtrack played in the background. They say that when a loved one passes, they often bless us with a final day of memories and family, and that was certainly true. I had never felt more closely connected to my family than I did those days in the hospital. And I think that connection that we shared, I think that was Grandpa's gift to us, and it's a gift that will last far longer than his life. My grandpa, or dad, or John, impacted us all in uncountable ways. All of those qualities that we love about him, he used to raise us, to teach us, to love us. And by doing so, he ingrained those qualities within all of us. His heart and capacity for endless love live on in Colleen. His wit and sharpness will live on in my mom, Catherine. His incredible sense of humor will be carried on by me and, and of course, my uncles, John and Jeff, along with the innumerable other lessons that have made them great fathers. And sprinkled through all the grandkids are his love of the arts, sports, academics, and comedy. And that's how we'll keep him alive. I think Grandpa saw that in all of us as well. In the hospital, my grandpa said, "I'm proud of my family. And I'm proud to be his grandson. I love you, Grandpa. I love you, Grandma."
It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread God's love to everyone. You want to pass it on.
On behalf of all of us gathered here in this place and those listening, we offer our most deep condolences to the Fryer family and their friends, and even ourselves here at St. James, where John shared his gifts and his skills as an advisor, a confidant, a jokester, a leader, a mentor, a chorister.
I wonder how many of us can say, if it wasn't for John Fryer, I wouldn't have gotten involved in fill in the blank. I met John at our diocesan camp, HCC, just as he was ending a very fruitful tenure as the camp chair. And you heard all of the things that he spearheaded while he was at the camp. But these are things, the cozy cabins, the two-year LIT program, and our one-on-one programming has set us on the path to make the camp more inclusive for children of many and varied abilities. Now, John remained a member of our property committee, and one time shortly after I became the director, while he was standing on a ladder fiddling around and fixing something, he very casually said to me, how long do you see yourself in the role? Again, he casually advised that I should stick around more than a few summers so I could really learn about the camp. I'm not sure he expected 25. We remember all John was and all he did as we celebrate and give thanks for such an accomplished life well lived, as witnessed beautifully by John and Aiden. The word that comes to mind as we gather here is John was faithful. Faithful. Faith-filled leadership in this place, in the community, in the Diocese of Huron, and beyond. And as Ken said, John chose today's readings and music, and in so doing, he left us all a very hopeful, inspiring message found in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' ascension into heaven. Jesus, gathered with his followers for the last time, reminds them once again about everything he has spoken to them. He reminds his followers of his death and resurrection. He calls upon them to proclaim repentance and forgiveness, not just within their circle, but all nations. He calls them to be witnesses. He directs them to stick together. The Holy Spirit is going to come and help them. Really, John couldn't have picked a better reading. It's like a pep talk filled with calls to action. Remember who you are. Proclaim the good news. Repent. Forgive. Spread the love. Pass it on. Jesus blesses them, and then he's gone. Now we might say, what? Again, Jesus? Didn't you just leave us after we thought you were the one who was going to save us? Weren't you brutally killed to stop your teachings and living out of the kingdom of God? We were all scared all the way home, back to Emmaus, back to the boats, scattered, our community in pieces. And didn't you just appear to us when we were hiding, saying peace, instead of, how could you have betrayed me? And then when we were still wondering how this could all be, you asked for something to eat. Something to eat? After everything that has happened, you still want to eat with us? You still want to eat with us. This time they did not run away. They came out of hiding to let their light shine, to worship Jesus, returning to Jerusalem, to the temple. The story marks the ending of the Gospel of Luke, but sparks the beginning of a movement of love, a love that could not be contained, even in a tomb, a love that burst forth, sweeping up everyone in its wake into the further adventures of the followers in the book of Acts, as they continue to tell the story of Jesus in their everyday living, sharing their resources, devoting themselves to teaching and fellowship, to breaking bread and prayers. From that day on, through the centuries, into this time and this place right here, a place where John worshiped, prayed, and sang, where he and Carolyn brought their children, and they their grandchildren. In choosing this passage, John has gifted us with encouragement and challenge. It is his love letter to all of us. Consider the image on the back of the bulletin. Tiny fires flicker across a wide vista of waterfront. The sun has set. A few remaining streaks of light will give way to a deep blue sky. Wide is an ocean brimming with stars. Young people, staff and leaders in training huddle around, laughing and talking, sharing snacks. This is during the second socially distanced summer of the pandemic. Around these little beach fires sit the first campers to return after almost 2 years of closures. It is a return, a reunion, 3 days of activities, but really just getting them there was what mattered. so we could build a little more excitement, so we could increase the momentum back into the succession of young people who would become next summer's staff. It was a time to pass on the visions and values of our camp through a leadership program now in its 29th year. It was our time to ask our staff, our LITs, have you ever thought of getting involved in, fill in the blank, serve children? The photo was taken by Aiden, and it's quite evocative of the early church, where resources were pooled, everyone getting a share, where those on the margins were cared for, where the community gathered to keep the light of Christ burning. John loved this photo, and perhaps it has something to tell us today. A fire that is not tended will eventually go out. Fires need tending. John was a tender of a holy fire, lighting and warming all who gathered round it, his family, friends, colleagues, fellow parishioners. He inspired us to step up, share our gifts and talents, his encouragement stoking the flames of a shining Christ light. John's fire dims, the last golden embers swirling up into the night, small sparks floating, dissipating. In our sorrow and our grief, it may feel like it is all but gone cold. But take heart. Let us remember that our gospel reading proclaims that this is not the end. This is a new beginning in which all of us have been called to fan the flames, to shine a light that draws us all close, a light that illuminates those shadowy places of doubt and fear, a light that is eternal. Its glow shines all around us, in the twinkle of all of our eyes, in the glimmer of divinity that resides in each and every one of us. John has not turned away from us, from the fire. Rather, he has made his life journey towards the one true light. God enfolds him in a tender, loving, eternal embrace. The God who knit us in our mother's womb, the God by whom we are fearfully and wonderfully made, God who knows every hair on our heads, God who is as close as the breeze that caresses our cheek, who fashioned us and formed us in God's own image, who through Jesus taught us, fed us, redeemed us, healed us, who through the Holy Spirit lifts us and sustains us even in our time of sorrow. John is passing on this tending, not only to his family, but to each and every one of us. Inspired by his faith-filled life, let us take up our spots around a campfire of our own building and our own tending, warming, inviting, shining a beacon of hope and encouragement to all who draw near. Let's spread God's love to everyone. We're called to pass it on.
Do please bow your heads. God of grace and glory, we thank you for John, who is so near and dear to us and who has now been taken from us, for the friendship he gave and for the strength and peace he brought. We pray that nothing good in this man's life will be lost, but will be of benefit to the world. We ask you that he may go on living in his family and in his friends, in their hearts and minds, in their courage and consciences. And we pray for ourselves who are tested by this death, that we do not try to minimize this loss or seek refuge from it in words alone, and also that we do not brood over it, so that it overwhelms us and isolates us from others. We ask this in the name of the risen Lord. Amen. Let us pray. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose victorious rising from the dead has given to us the hope of resurrection and the promise of eternal life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all who have served you in every age, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, and above all in the Word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink you all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light, where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom in the unity of the Holy Spirit all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the bread which has come down from heaven.
Those who eat this bread will live forevermore.
Jesus, there.
standing, let us pray. God of love, you have fed us at the table of your kingdom. Teach us to trust without fear in your eternal goodness and mercy. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
the congregation to be seated, and with the family, please remain standing as we follow the crucifer out to the memorial garden. I hope you remember that wonderful, phenomenal anthem by John Rutter, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." It was my deep honor as a close friend of John and his pastor and priest to be singing that to each other for the last couple of times that I brought him communion. What an honor bestowed upon me.